The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Good morning. And happy Saturday to everybody, and we're glad you're with us this morning. We have a real special guest. It's hard to get her on. She's so busy. I want to welcome our Times Union girl on the street, Wendy Lipitor.
Hello, Rick.
How are you, Wendy?
Fine, thank you.
We got a lot going on in Saratoga.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, we got the racing season coming up, and politics, we're getting shootings like every other big city, except I think it's all relative, but you know, not the numbers, but the frequency is increasing. So let's get down to the downtown situation first.
Okay.
You know, we've had a lot of protests and shootings and stabbings. Seems to happen after 2 o'clock in the morning, a lot of the stuff. And a good friend of mine, we go for coffee, and he says, well, anybody out at 2 o'clock in the morning is looking for trouble. But that's the old thing parents used to say to your
yes.
kids so that you could get home earlier. But, you know, what sense do you have of what's going on?
Well, certainly Caroline Street is mobbed. And I think a lot has to do with being the end of the pandemic. People have this pent-up desire to go and party now, and they are partying like wild downtown. Of course, Saturday night, or actually Saturday morning, Friday night, they had the stabbing.
Okay.
Stabbing, and then the shooting. And no one was shot. Someone was stabbed, though.
Okay.
And the police recovered a ghost gun. They're blaming it on gangs coming up here from Albany selling drugs. I have no idea how true that is. Other people say it's local kids. It doesn't seem like they have any solution right now. They are now in the blame game.
Yep.
Blaming protesters, blaming parents, blaming the schools, blaming the business owners. They caught a lot of flack on Monday after their press conference where the Robin Dalton, the Commissioner of Public Safety, and Assistant Chief John Cotone spoke and did a lot of finger pointing, but right now we don't have any solution.
Right. It's been, some of this stuff's been going on for years, and I don't know if, you know, I attribute it to the lack of leadership on the top. We talk about that all the time. I've always felt that our form of government leads to inept people being in office because you don't have to have a specialty in any of those departments. And I don't think a lot of the people that are elected to their as commissioner really don't know what they're getting into and they don't understand it, and they're kind of learning as they go along, and before you know it, a year and a half goes by and they're running for election again.
Yes, or they're leaving screaming like, why did I ever do this in the first place?
Right.
Which happens a lot, but they operate in those silos that doesn't allow for collaboration and creative solutions. Right now the Commissioner of Public Safety, Robin Dalton, just wants more money from the Finance Commissioner so she can hire 20 more police officers. But the city's also in a financial crisis. They can't just come up with this money. There's been no raise in taxes in a long, long time. This was the first year.
Yep.
In 10 years, there's no money.
No, because... And I think Michelle Madigan, our Commissioner of Finance, and my voice is changing. I'm coming into puberty, so don't worry about it. But Michelle Madigan was spending down the surplus.
Yes.
And you can't do that in when you have a city our size. You have to, I always said, you have to raise taxes every couple of years, maybe a half a percent.
Yeah, something small that can be manageable for most people.
Right. And I was talking with the former mayor, Scott Johnson, just before the pandemic, and he said it's ridiculous of spending the surplus down and not raising taxes. And he said, and you don't have to do it in a big chunk. And this is the fruit that spending down the surplus provided us with.
Right, because then when Governor Cuomo comes in and says, I'm not giving you VLT money, or, you know, there needs to be more security downtown, well, you know, there, you just can't handle it.
You can't do it.
Financially.
No, and it impacts other things in the budget, things that are needed. And we can't do it.
Remember, they wanted to get rid of recreation in the summer. That's not right.
No.
I mean, this is something that parents and children depend on every single summer. But, yeah, it's a huge problem in the city. And
well, I say, and I'll keep saying it, we have a small city government mentality, but we're a big city now.
Yes.
I mean, we're getting bigger, we're getting more people, we're having more problems, but yet we still have a small city government mentality, and it has to change.
Yeah.
I mean, we can be in big trouble in a couple more years.
Well, maybe this month. I mean, with the amount of people coming in, Chief Catone said that every weekend is a Travers weekend now.
Yep.
That's a lot of people.
Sure it is.
And SPAC's not even open. The track's not even open.
Wait until the track opens.
Right.
And you get 30,000 people.
Right. Or Dave Matthews at SPAC. Makes an untenable situation.
Sure, because where do these people want to go? They want to go downtown.
Right.
They want to have dinner.
And I don't care how many cops are down there. It's not... It's overwhelming for everybody. And I know the businesses want to get people back in their stores, but do they want to be overrun, especially when there is also a crisis in hiring people?
Right.
Nobody wants to work these jobs because they don't get paid enough and can't live here.
Well, as I was saying to you, my daughters were born here, and they can't afford to live in Saratoga.
It's a shame.
And it's sad. I mean, you know, you've had families that have been here for generations. You can't do that now.
No.
I mean, those days are gone.
No, the city is really for the wealthy. And it's really too bad. And they shouldn't wonder why they don't have workers in the restaurants and bars and shops.
Right. I mean, it's hard for... waiters and waitresses or store clerks to drive from 25 miles away, especially now with the price of gas, and make, you know, what they're making, $12.50, $13 an hour. I mean, it's just impossible.
Yeah. We need a more diverse city, a city for everybody.
And exactly.
That everybody can live here, work here, and right now that's not the case.
No. One of my pet peeves is having the city, I feel, is overbuilt.
Yes.
We always had a great moniker that we were the city in the country, and there was something about that. I mean, it was really nice, and people wanted to come here, and we had a lot to offer, but every piece of green space now is being used. Across the street from me, they built four houses that you could, if you opened your window and your next door neighbor opened their window, you could shake hands. I don't know what happened with that space that was supposed to be between houses.
Interesting.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it's, and a friend of mine who used to be a former deputy commissioner of public safety told me that there's a rule on the books that sidewalks have to be 4x4. Mm-hmm. Now you go down some of these new buildings and the sidewalks are probably 3 foot by 3 foot. I mean, they're, right. You're almost in the road.
Yes. Yes.
Now a builder can get away doing that, you know?
Well, if it's the right builder, it's Saratoga Springs. They still have the old rules in place. Whoever has the money, the most money wins.
Yeah.
But yeah, if there's any land left, it's being developed. Like Michael Dubb, who owns, I'm sure you know him, who owns Racehorses, is developing land out by Saratoga Lake, and he bills it as the last developable land in Saratoga Springs. You know, and then even if it's not developable, the land behind the hospital, it's all bedrock. They're going to blast the crap out of that to build a massive building in people's backyards.
And they fought like heck, because if you bought a house, people have been living there for 20, 30 years. Now the hospital comes in. And the land was partially donated by a fellow who owns a construction company.
D.A. Collins.
Right. And he gave it to the hospital for $3 million, but it cost, I think, $6 million. And now the father moved out of the development. So, I mean, you know, that's crazy. But, yeah, right in people's backyards, right on the street.
Yes. They're going to have a lot of shaking once that construction starts.
Well, there may be damage. Some of those houses have been there a while.
That there is definitely concern for that.
They're talking about the parking lots being big with those all-night lights that are on, and the houses are there. I mean, I don't know if you ever saw Christmas Vacation.
Yes.
When they turned all the lights on and the next-door neighbors went blind because of the lights.
Yes.
I mean, you can see it from
space.
That's right. That's right. But, I mean, so what's going to happen?
And I wonder, too, what's going to happen over by the railroad station. There's still woods there. But it's the tent city for the homeless. So if they decide to develop that, where are they going to go?
I know.
And they're already on our streets, you know, on the west side there.
Yeah, they're all over. I mean, you go downtown, they're laying on Broadway. They're laying in the parking garages. I showed you a picture of the one that was laying in that alleyway, which is, there's a road there.
Yeah.
And
it's dangerous.
It's dangerous and it's sad.
It is very sad.
Because, you know, we're a small city that's getting bigger, but we should be able to do something for these people.
Yes.
You know, probably 90% of them have mental illnesses.
Right.
And we should be able to take care of that.
Or
addiction problems. And we should be able to take care of that.
Yes.
But we're not doing anything about it.
No. That too. Again, it does go back to leadership.
Mm-hmm.
There really isn't anybody in the driver's seat. You know, again, people are operating in their silos. Yeah, there's not a lot of cooperation.
No, and I've always said, I mean, I've been on 4 different commissions to change the form of government since I've been up here. And the one thing I've always said about this form was it's a reactionary form of government, not one that is plans out for the future or can see it. They react to situations instead of prevent. And it's not what it was when I moved up here, and it's sad.
Yes, yeah.
It's sad.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see if anything can change or get better once November comes and a new
administration comes in.
I mean, I would expect that Commissioner of Public Safety, Skip Scirocco, will remain, but we're going to have a whole new city council.
Yeah. I don't think Scirocco has anybody running against him, does he?
Yes, he does. There is a Democrat at this moment. I can't think of her name. Who is running against him?
Okay.
And yeah, but Skip's kind of unbeatable. People like him.
Yeah, he's a Saratoga boy.
Yes,
and
he's coached a lot of kids over the years.
Yeah. Who are now voters.
Yes, or had to move out because they can't afford it here anymore. But, you know, and Skip works well with the developers.
Yeah, he does. He does. Well, we found that out at the last election cycle when we saw who was giving the money to what candidates, and they were all unions or contractors or real estate people to the tune of thousands of dollars each. And it was hard to run against these people because that's not a small, you know, it's not a small city. Yeah. You don't use $70,000-$80,000 to run a campaign for 2 years.
Yes.
When you only make $14,500.
Yep.
So
yeah, Madigan had $45,000 or something like that in her war chest.
Yes, and I think Meg Kelly and Robin had $60,000.
Yeah,
if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you know, there's signs that there's something wrong when, you know, you work $14,500 for the year and you're running a department, and I don't know, just blows my mind, but.
Yeah, well, because Madigan won again, she was able to get her
Health insurance, yeah.
Yeah, her office and her health insurance.
That's right.
And
$35,000 a year for life.
Yes.
Yeah. An elected official that served for 10 years. I don't understand that either.
Yes. Right. Again, that would probably be something that would go away if we had stronger leadership.
Oh, sure. Well, Scott Johnson, again, the past mayor, tried to bring that up for discussion. And he didn't think it was right to have it at the time, I think. John Frank was coming up for it in 2 years, and they wanted to grandfather him in, but he couldn't get a second, not even from, you know, there were three Democrats on the council, and Skip Scirocco, who was a Republican, and Scott was a Republican. He couldn't even get his Republican on the council to second the motion, which that's pretty sad.
Yes, it's tough when there's only five people on the council.
Yeah. It is. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens this November. Personally, I think we're going to have all new people in, maybe with the exception of Scott or of Skip.
Because the mayor's race will be very interesting, especially because all three of them have baggage.
Right.
They're coming in with, you know, Robin Dalton is the commissioner of public safety. People don't feel safe in the city.
No.
People who are, you know, the racial justice advocates think does a terrible job with that as well. And then Ron Kim seems to be bouncing back and forth to his different homes.
Right.
And people don't feel he's really a Saratogian. And Heidi West doesn't want the West Side
fire emergency station.
Right. She's backed off on that.
Yeah.
But,
well, it's going to be built, so she should, you know.
Yes, she had to back off. But that would, as the Republican, that will upset Republicans on the West Side, and that's who wants it. West Side. And that's where a lot of Republicans live.
Isn't it the East Side? Because it's
East Side, yes.
East
I'm sorry,
side,
East Side.
Yes.
Thank
and
you.
And that's where a lot of the Republicans.
Yes, over by the lake.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, that's the East Side. As a matter of fact, I think the track gave them property for $1 a year, which, yeah, it's nice they do that.
Yes.
With a 20-year lease, but if I was a city, I'd want to own property.
That's true.
They could come along. I don't know if it's a 10 or 20-year lease, but they could come over after that lease and say, all right, you're done. Now we own a building. And
Right. It's actually the state that owns that land.
Right. It's a state. Yeah.
But it's going to be in Heidi West's backyard.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of sirens, a lot of... activity. Yeah. And, you know, I can understand where she's coming from. But
well, you know what's funny? A couple of years ago, and you may remember this, when Hot Dog Eddie, I can't remember, Eddie, he got in trouble. Skip gave him a job.
Oh, Miller?
Eddie Miller.
Yes, the head of the Independence
Yeah, well,
committee,
he was.
Chair of the Independence
But that's been disbanded.
Yes, that part. Right.
But he lives over on that site, I think, or he owned horses, whatever. And you can't mow your lawn until after 11 o'clock on the Oklahoma track side, like on Fifth Avenue, because it bothers the horses.
Well, what's going to happen with sirens at 6 a.m. or 2 a.m.?
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I mean, because, again, the city doesn't own the land. So.
No, it's right. So they're going to have to go out. And, I mean, the track can't say, well, look, you can't go out between the hours of 6 and 11 in the morning. I mean.
No, And Naira is playing nice with the city, because I did ask Naira representatives what they thought about this noise and will it affect the horses. And they said, oh, no, not at all. So that's interesting about the mowing of the lawn. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, I even think that you can't have carpenters pounding because it bothers. You know, you spook the horses.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And the houses are right on top. Yes. Their backyard touches
the fence. And
they have
ears that are big and standing right up, and that noise just goes right in and right through them. And,
it doesn't take much to
spook
that horse, those racing horses.
And those racing horses are expensive.
Ooh.
Nobody wants their
Nobody
horse.
Wants to get hurt, no. But here again, I mean, it's sometimes you just wonder how they do things.
Yeah, now, well, Meg Kelly really pushed that through so she could win the election.
Sure. Now, the fellow that Tom Newkirk, I think, wanted to give them property out by the golf course, but there was a caveat there that he wanted a building built.
Oh, yes.
So if they allowed him to do that, he'd donate all the property to the city for that.
And he did donate a lot of money to a lot of the candidates who
ran
and won.
Sure he did.
And so I'm sure he's disappointed after giving money to them. He didn't get that deal.
Well, you know, you can go right down the list of donors, of big donors, and figure what they want. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not too hard to figure out. I mean, they may think they're pulling the wool over somebody's eyes.
Right.
But when you really look into it, if you go to the state website and see who donates and how much, you can kind of figure out what's going on.
It's wonderful that we have that resource available to
see who's
giving what. And
now, many people don't know that it's there, though.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have to be looking for it for a reason,
like
you want to know, or if you're nosy, or in your case, you want to see what's going on so you can.
I always check that.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes I do, too.
Yeah.
Every other night. But. Yeah. Well, the overbuilding is definitely, I feel, one of the big problems that we're going to have coming down the road. Infrastructure needs to be put in when that happens. You tie into the old infrastructure, and then you've got problems down the road. And, I mean, I remember my in-laws lived on East Avenue, and they still had wooden sewer lines on East Avenue, and they kept his three blocks up from the track, and the road kept sinking in. So they had to keep repairing that. They were always on East Avenue right before the track, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like, so build a new house and hook it into that, and then what happens?
Yeah.
You know?
I remember Skip telling me there was a lot of flooding problems over there on East Ave, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, my father-in-law used to call it the valley. When you go down Spring Street and, you know, then you go up, it always flooded in there. And I think McTighe had done something about that. I don't know if they put more sewer drains in there.
Yes, they did. I remember looking at that when I was doing urban renewal. That was part of the urban renewal plan.
Oh, okay.
To improve, because apparently it flooded pretty heavily there.
Oh, my father-in-law used to say it was a swimming hole. But, you know, you could go in. Yeah, it was really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yes. That was one thing that Tommy McDyke took care of.
Yeah, that and this. I mean, he did make Broadway look really nice when the resurgence started back in the late 70s and 80s. I mean, the city was pristine back then. Now you go into the park. I remember going through with Pat, the deputy commissioner under McTighe, and we went into a fountain in Congress Park, and he said, look at this. He said, I always had guys here once a week, the base of the fountain. He said, would you drink out of this fountain? They have cups there. And yeah. It was moldy, green and moldy. And he said, once a week I had a guy here with bleach and water and a scrub brush, and we had that thing looking beautiful. And he said, now look at it. He said, I wouldn't, you know, it's just the perception.
Yeah.
You know, so I think the mentality too, you know, I'm talking about mentality. I always wanted to be a psychiatrist. But I think the mentality is, well, people are coming here anyway, so we can slack off on a few things.
Right.
You know, and I don't know. I guess it's working, but...
Well, now they're having problems in the park with the gangs of teenagers trying to fight other teenagers.
Fight other teenagers.
Or a fight club. Yeah.
Yeah, and then go in the wishing pond and take the money out. And you know
right.
What really bothers me is there's a lot of people that say, well, there's nothing wrong with that. How much are they taking out of there? I mean, what a mentality we have today.
Yeah, that's not the point.
No, it isn't the point. It's not theirs. It's not
right.
Their property.
Right.
So yeah. Does that mean that I can go into somebody's backyard and take some hamburgers or hot dogs off their grill
right,
because I'm hungry?
Right, right. And it's, you know, it could be dangerous going. I mean, it could be a liability for the city as well if somebody's jumping into the fountain to get the money.
I sure mean, can. Hit their head and go in the water and drown. I mean.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so now I guess they got to put cameras around the back of the buildings now, they were saying.
Yes, and yeah, and they have to put a camera. I don't know what's the latest is on the Civil War.
Civil War.
I know they want to rebuild it, but they never found the person.
No, and they
won't.
Again,
there was no camera on that one.
No.
So they need more cameras. I do agree with that. That was one of the things that Dalton and Catone mentioned.
Yeah. Well, and it should be replaced. That statue was of a service person in the Civil War, and the plaque was all the Saratogians that died during the Civil War.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know.
No, it's really important to have that.
Sure it
there.
Is. Sure it is. One of the other things that struck me funny is no mentality in this one, okay? I won't say that word. For some reason, I'm hung up on that word tonight. What is taking so long to move into a how many million dollar renovated...
$12.7 million city hall.
$12.7 million renovated city hall, and they won't go back into city hall.
I have no idea. I have been trying to find that out myself. Mayor Meg Kelly seems to be the one that held it up. They finally opened it this week.
Okay.
This is the first week. So the fire at City Hall that closed it was in August of 2018.
Yeah.
So it's 2.5 years later. And at the time that it happened, Meg Kelly said we'd be in there in a year. Wow.
Right. Well, it didn't because they kept adding more things to get. I mean, you have a $17,000 rug in the Commissioner of Finance's office. I hear her chairs. We saw the bill. Her chairs for the workers are $2,000 a piece.
Yeah, there was a lot of money spent.
Right. But one of the things I heard from someone on the inside there was that they were afraid to go back in. Meg Kelly and Michelle Madigan were afraid, and Robin Dalton too, that they would have protesters coming in, and that they wanted the police to have a presence at the doors. And I don't know if the police could spare a couple police officers. And then Robin Dalton or Michelle Madigan wanted two or three police officers in the council meetings or in any of the...
Any public meeting.
They wanted police in there more than the one that is normally there. They wanted two or three to handle any problems that would arise. So I think anywhere that Meg Kelly went, she needed a police escort because she was afraid something would happen to her. So she would really only go to ribbon cuttings. I don't think she's been doing any anything other than ribbon cuttings. But, I mean, hey, look, that's your job.
Well, the problem is, you know, she appointed this commission to for police reform as per the governor wanted her to. Right. And then they didn't want to do any of the recommendations.
Right.
They, you know, they'll only think about them and reviewing them. And, well, that pissed people off.
Yep.
And, yeah, and they have to show that they are moving forward with the police reforms, because otherwise there's going to be continued protests. Robin's going to feel threatened. The mayor is going to feel threatened. You know, these folks are angry.
Yeah. Well, I think that's one of the reasons why Madigan and Kelly are not running again, to tell you the truth, because I didn't see Kelly only being a two-term candidate. I mean, I think if it wasn't for her being afraid that she, I don't think she ever wanted to deal with problems.
That's true.
And I think she didn't want to deal with what's happening now. And she just gave up.
Yeah.
And I think Madigan got her insurance and she figured, why would I have to put up with this? We got bad times coming financially.
Yes.
They're going to blame it on me.
Right.
And she didn't want to be around for it.
Yeah. That is probably true with Matt. And Meg Kelly never liked any negativity. You know, if you asked her a question that was tough, she would, you know, hang up on you or, you know, she would say, that's too negative.
Right. Or turn her back if you were in person.
Right. The only people she would talk to were the people who would praise her or say something nice to her. And you can't be a mayor like that. You got to be able to take the heat and come up with solutions.
Exactly. You have to know how to talk to people and not make lies up and tell them what they want to hear. But
right.
You have to come up with a plan and carry it through.
Right.
And you get your plan from listening to the constituents.
Right. And that is definitely not the case there. I mean, over the police reforms, there was so many people came to those meetings begging them to adopt these reforms.
I know.
And, you know, it was just like the hospital. All these people come begging, please don't do this. Don't ruin our lives.
Right.
Do they do it? Nope.
Nope. I know.
It's just, you got to... If you're not in the in crowd, forget it.
No, you know what? That's true. I mean, I feel that people don't have a representative form of government. I mean, you get 2 minutes to speak
right.
before a meeting, and that's limited to
right.
10 or 12 people. And that's all you get to talk about. Then they have the meeting, and you can't talk about what they're talking at the meeting, you know. What they're doing at the meeting. And I think Valerie Keene, when she was mayor, she tried to correct it, although it ended up turning out not to be a good deal, because what she would do, she'd have a open mic before the meeting and then an open mic after the meeting. So you could ask the commissioners, but it was too late at night. The meetings dragged out for so long.
I know.
And then by the time that came along, there would be two people
right
in the chamber. So
yeah, I was astonished when I first started covering Saratoga how late those meetings ran.
Yeah.
And they were very contentious at that point because Joanne Yepsen was mayor.
Yeah.
And she and Madigan would battle. And
And Madigan would battle with John Frank. And
yes,
the
yes.
mayor and Madigan would battle. And, oh, my gosh.
And Skip would just agree with Michelle.
With Michelle and with...
It was very predictable.
And, oh, yeah. You know, it was 3-2, every vote. All right, 3-2. Yeah. It's over. Let's go on to the next one. 3-2.
All right.
Yeah. All right. I mean, all they had to do was vote. They never had to talk about anything because they would really start arguing and screaming.
Yes.
They'd accuse each other of texting on their phone or not paying attention. Oh, my gosh. Yes. Those are hilarious if you go back and watch those.
Oh, I know.
I mean, it really
Well, and now John Frank is the one. He's, like, kind of alone.
I know.
They really have pushed him to the edge.
And I wonder if that's one of the reasons why he isn't running again. Because I've always felt that John was one of the smartest people on that. On the commission, because he's a CPA, and I would always have thought he would be commissioner of finance, but in accounts he would always try to help the commissioner of finance, and Madigan didn't want it.
No, she preferred to keep that all to herself.
Yeah, but John was smart. I mean, you may not have agreed with him. He and I didn't agree on a few things, and we had our tiffs, but we were friends. I mean, you know, we're good friends.
Yeah.
But he's the type of guy that you could, if you disagreed with him and gave your points, I mean, he would tell you what his reasoning is, and 9 out of 10 times he was right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
It was funny, though, when they were talking about police reform,
mm-hmm.
how people would get on and say nice things to John Frank, and Meg Kelly would cut them off. She would not let them speak.
Really?
Yeah. You redress all of us. You don't say anything to him.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, because they were all praising John for trying to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And,
well, that's the type of guy he was. I mean, he listened to people.
Yes, right.
John
right.
did. He listened.
And the same
to
with the hospital. He's like, it's going to be bigger than the White House in your backyard.
That's right.
And he was alone on that, too. He kind of ended up being the lone wolf. And that must be frustrating.
It's got to be frustrating. And I think, I mean, he's been in there for a long time. I think he's been in there for 16 years.
Yeah.
But I think if you end up like he did, being a loner, when you're one of the smartest people and people want your advice, citizens want your advice because you know that he'll listen, and not to be listened to at the table, I think I'd give it up to myself.
Yeah. He had good ideas about the homeless,
mm-hmm.
what could be done, where they should go.
Well, the city owned a building.
Right.
It's on Henry Street, maybe.
Okay.
Across from the library or something. It was an old garage, and he wanted to turn that into a shelter for the homeless, and they turned him down. And I think the city owned that property, and they said, no, we don't want to do that. And now, see, John is I would consider a visionary.
Right. He came up with ideas.
Yep. I mean, South Broadway, he worked with Matt Veach, who's a Republican.
Yes, yep.
And to kind of spruce that up, because it's the entrance to the city.
Yes, and needed it.
Yeah, and needed it. And I mean, John's a visionary. And I don't know. I think he's one. I don't think there's a perfect politician, but I think he's as close as it comes for a city politician.
Right, because he listens to the people.
And he gets things done.
Yeah. But nobody wanted to listen to him at the end.
No.
You know, Meg Kelly was done with him.
Done. And
once Meg Kelly's done with you, you are done.
Oh, you're done. Oh, yeah. I mean, we worked on her campaign, and she unfriended me on Facebook because she was for charter change, and that's when it lost by 10 votes.
Mm-hmm.
Then she appointed a commission to... she wanted a bigger salary. So right after she got into office, she appointed a commission to keep the form of government, but to increase salaries. And, of course, we were against that.
Of course.
Well, that's it. Chekhov, Rick. He's not.
Right.
You know, so.
That's right. She's famous for deleting people from her life.
Yeah.
You know, including the press.
I can't. Well,
and we also need a mayor who will talk to the public. This is, you know, I'm a conduit for the people. And if you're not talking to me, then you're not getting your word out.
Exactly. And
the people have no idea where you stand on things.
That's right. And you know what that's a sign of? You don't want people to know.
That's probably the case.
See, if I'm not talking to you, if I'm mayor or any commissioner, and you ask me a question and I'm not talking to you, there's got to be a reason why you don't want people to know. So, I mean, that would be a red flag to me, as I'm sure it is to you.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and then you lose respect for the person.
Yes, you do feel like they're hiding something.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we try to have fun here, but we like to do investigations too a little bit.
Right, right, yes.
Another thing that I think we've lost something really good. A friend of mine, Andrew Jarosh, and his wife, Kate, with the help of the city when Ken Ivins was finance commissioner, started a 4th of July committee. And they had a nice 4th of July parade, and it was an all-day celebration. I think I forgot what they called it, but it was celebration was in the word, hometown celebration. Mm-hmm. And it was like the old-time movies, like Meet Me in St. Louis, or I always had a thing like that, or Oklahoma, where the town would get together and they'd have like a fair and a pie baking contest and everything.
And old fashioned Saratogians get together.
Exactly.
And have a good time.
And that's what they tried to have. And they would have barbecue in Congress Park, and all the streets were blocked off, and they had vendors in the streets, and you know, you could walk around and try different foods and 4th of July celebration. And then they'd have fireworks after 8 or 9 o'clock at night. It was eliminated. The Chamber of Commerce eliminated it. And I could never understand why.
Yes, I don't know why they did that either. Unless it's financial.
They raised money. That committee raised their own money. And I mean, I remember Andrew and his wife, they were in charge of it. They're the ones that started it, actually. But they had a committee, and they would fundraise. And I think the city may have helped the first year to get it kicked off. And he and his wife were decimated when they eliminated it. He said, we worked so hard to get it to the point where it was, I mean, people were coming because they hadn't seen that. Probably since they were kids.
Yeah.
And then it just went away. And the chambers killed a lot of things that, like, hats off, opening night at the track that weekend. They eliminated that.
Right.
And here again, why? Brought people in the town. They had bands. They had the stores were open. They had vendors on the street selling food and things. And poof, it's gone.
Yes, and what's left is the stuff for tourists, basically. I mean, we've really, it's not a, like you were saying, it's not the city.
Not the hometown
city
in the country. Yeah. City totally, in the country. Yeah. It's totally gone big city mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And the locals really don't do anything because of the cost. I mean, they even cut down. Well, I guess they cut down on Chowder Fest because of the number of people that came into the city. It was getting really bad.
And I think that might have had something to do with Hats Off, too.
Really?
But, yeah, the number of people.
Well, check the cars when they come in, you know?
Yeah. The Democrat running for public safety has had a good idea about cordoning off the downtown area, you know, Phyla Street and Caroline Street on the weekends when we see a ton of people and checking bags.
Yeah, you know, nothing wrong with that. And there's nothing
knives,
wrong.
Guns. Yeah, sorry, you can't come in.
Well, I remember, you know, we check bags at the track, especially on, I mean, I
after
do.
After 9/11, or was that something you always did?
Well, I wasn't here for that. I just started maybe 2012, 2013. Mm-hmm. But Traverse Day or to Whitney, we're out in front. I mean, you know where my spot is, upstairs.
Yes. Well,
they would pull a lot of us downstairs just until the till the first race was almost ready to go off. And we would check coolers. No glass could come in, no knives or anything like that. So one day this guy comes with a big cooler, and I said, you know, I need to look in the cooler. I said, just to make sure there's, you know, nothing glass or bourbon. Open it up, and he's got like a machete in there.
What?
So I said to him, what are you doing with this? He says, well, I sliced my tomatoes up for my hamburgers. I said, with that? And I said, look, I'll watch your cooler leaving here. You got to bring that back to your car. You can't bring that in. I mean, man, that I couldn't believe it. Sliced tomatoes with a thing. I mean, come on.
Wow. Well, yeah. They could start doing that downtown. But that would only be, I don't know if that wouldn't work for the business people, like you were saying, that one woman was talking about the shooting.
Well, you know, if they did it on Carolyn and Phyla, though, because those streets are so narrow anyway.
I know, and they're jam-packed with people.
Right, and I don't think that would hurt the bars any, because you could there's no reason for anybody to bring a knife or a gun into a bar or a glass bottle of alcohol.
That's true, too.
I mean,
too.
That's what we used to keep. We'd have to throw it away if they didn't want to take it back to their car.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, next time you come up, they put alcohol in these plastic bottles now.
Oh,
the liquor stores do.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, it looks like glass, but they're plastic. And I said, you can bring those in with no problem.
Right.
But it's, you know, I mean, you got to do things like that today.
Are you going back to the track this year? Because
yes,
it's going to be mob.
It is.
I have a feeling this is going to be the year that busts all records on attendance.
You want to hear something, though? Mm-hmm. I was talking with a friend of mine yesterday, and friends of hers are coming in for 2 weeks. So they went online and ordered tickets. They're not going to go every day, but they got tickets. And they could even get tickets for Traverse.
Really?
Yeah.
That surprises me.
It is very surprising. And I'm just wondering if, I know there's a lot of people that want to get back to the track, but I'm just wondering if you have a lot of the older racing fans that are a little hesitant yet.
That could
to
be
get
it.
Out into like 25, 30,000 people.
Yeah, that could be a problem.
And I'm just wondering if that's the case. I mean, normally you couldn't get a Traverse ticket even in May.
No, right.
You know, so
that's very interesting. So maybe my prediction on overrun at the track is not correct.
Well, we'll see, though. I mean, you know, it's still, it's what, 2.5 weeks away?
Yeah.
So
it's coming right up.
Oh, it is. Yeah, I've got my usual spot, bottom of the press box there.
Okay.
And
we'll see you at the press
box.
We'll
see you in the press box. That's right. And I can, in a way, it's bittersweet for me because I love doing that. You know, it's a break from my normal school bus driving. And I meet a lot of people, and you see a lot of people from year to year, and I love it. But summer's over, basically, for me.
Yes.
Because you're working every day, and the days start getting shorter. And when I get home to mow the lawn, I can't get the whole thing because it's getting dark out. Yeah. So it's kind of bittersweet for me.
Yeah.
But it's good. You know, and what's funny is, you know, there's really no lighting on the inside of the clubhouse. And it's, the end of August on Labor Day, it gets darker and heck in there, and the only thing that that sheds the light are those little TV screens there that people bet on.
So yes.
I mean, in back of us, there's lights, you know, where you go to bed at the windows. Right. But yeah, it's going to be interesting, but I think it's going to be a good year.
I think so, too. Just judging by the crowds downtown now.
Oh, I know. It's getting busy down there.
Yes, it is.
Which is a good
thing. And the shops are full.
Yeah, and our merchants need it. They took a beating last
year.
They
most certainly did.
And I have to tell you, I was surprised. I had to go down to buy a hat for a friend of mine. And there's a lot of people, but boy, there's empty storefronts. And there's a big one on the corner of Spring, I think, and Broadway. And when you go up Broadway, there's like one or two empty ones. And that never happened.
Right.
I mean, they were always renting out. And I'm wondering if the rents had gone up because of the pandemic, because the owners weren't making enough money. You know, maybe they closed their stores. And because it's always been, you pay the full rent, have a store empty for 6 or 8 months instead of trying to get something, you know, you keep that $5,000 or $6,000 a month price tag on it. And, you know, you got to sell a lot of dresses to make that up.
Yes, yeah.
But
I think most businesses survived. Of the restaurants, I only know of Ravenous that went out.
That went out, yeah. Yeah. Well, I think the problem now is they don't have enough help.
Right.
They can't get the help.
Right.
But the people are there to support the businesses.
Yes.
And, I mean, like I said, we went down Thursday night for coffee. And, Friday night at Coffee Traders. And people were walking around with bags. So they're shopping in the stores. And that is a good sign, because these shop owners have to be, they
thrilled
were hurt.
After, yes, it was
thrilled.
A really bad year. Yeah. Really bad.
Yeah.
And it's good for the city, too. They get the tax
sales money. Tax money and their bed tax, you know, and it's good for everybody, the county and the city and, and hopefully taxes. No, taxes will stay down, but it's good for everybody, and it's good to see people again.
It is.
You know, last year was such a nightmare that you can't fathom what it was like now, because it seems like it was such a nightmare that, you know, if you did have to drive to the store, there were no cars on the road. We had a fox that came down our street every day, would just walk right down looking for rabbits or something, probably. And two deer were walking. You know, these animals are getting displaced because of all the building. And I live in a development, and there were two deer walking down the middle of the road looking around for some place to go.
Aw,
and
that's a shame.
Yeah, and it's like, oh my gosh.
They have to move out too.
Yeah, they do. They got to look right. They got to move out to Greenfield and Corinth.
Yes, because there's not much left here.
No, there isn't. Yeah. Oh, menage, I tell you.
Yeah.
So I think the two most important things right now, and you correct me, and if they're two of what you think are important, is the police and crime that's going on in Saratoga.
Yes.
I feel that, because it's only going to increase because of the influx of people that we have.
Right.
And a lot of times we don't hear about the crimes that are committed when you get a lot of people.
Yes.
Because they want to keep the people coming.
Yes.
So you don't hear a lot about that. Police and crime, and that includes the downtown situation and the elections. I think they're the most important things.
Those two, yeah.
That are coming up. You agree?
Yes, because certainly the election, because it's going to be a whole new city.
Mm-hmm.
Next year with all new people. I mean, the usual suspects are all fleeing, except for the commissioner of Public Works. Yeah.
But he doesn't know. I mean, what the heck? He's oblivious a lot of times, too. You know, I hate to say that, Skip, because you're a friend, but,
But, you know, maybe Robin Dalton will win, but I don't think so.
I think the odds are stacked against her this time.
I do, too, with the crime downtown, and she's the commissioner of public safety. That falls at her feet.
Right, and a little bit of attitude, you know, so we'll see. It's going to be interesting. I think the strongest candidates are going to be the ones that come out for the people.
Right.
And engage the people before the election. Now, I think we spoke about this before. My father was a councilman in where I grew up. And what he used to do, they had two council people in the ward. They had six wards. They had 12 on the council. And the mayor was the deciding vote if there was a tie. Mm-hmm. They ended up cutting it back to six people on the council. And one of them was a councilman at large. No, they had a councilman at large, which made it seven. And then that was the one that broke the tie. Mm-hmm. But he had, he would have an open house, let's say. And it was in our church cafeteria. Because it was in the ward, and he would have anybody that wanted to come down. It was the night before the council meeting to talk about what they wanted
council
to talk about. And he would get ideas from his, I mean, he had his own plan that what he wanted to do, but if that wasn't what the majority of those people wanted, he would rethink his position. Mm-hmm. And he did this every 2 weeks. And I think if these people were smart that are running, the new ones would kind of try and do that.
Yeah.
And get people together maybe once every 2 weeks. Because when the summer is over, you don't have that much time.
That's true.
You know, when September, Labor Day is when the track ends. And you only have September and October.
Yeah. And it'll be full-blown political season.
Sure.
Then.
So I would think at that point you'd want to get constituents together, the city people that are interested together to hear what they have to say.
Yeah.
And then make that part of your platform because now you're appealing to them.
Right.
And
hopefully if they get into office, they will continue to listen to the people, which is not always the case today,
right,
as you know.
But you would hope so because, you know, I mean, I think if you build a trust with the people before you're elected and then you get elected, you've already made good contact with the city residents. And I think that'll carry through because then they'd have something to say like, hey, look, this is what you talked about before. You know, and you got another year and a half,
right,
and you know, you may better hit the road. But I think that would appeal to people.
Yes, it's, I agree.
You know, so if you're talking to any of these ladies that are running,
and gentlemen,
right? Yeah, we have two gentlemen, right? Mm-hmm. I maybe mention that. You know, say someone had a brilliant idea. You'll probably be on his radio show in the fall. So
will you have the candidates come in? Or
I'd like to. I always try to. There has always been a faction that never came on, and I don't know why. I mean, I'm an independent, former Republican, but I turned independent years ago, but I'm conservative. But I always, and I never talk bad about any political party. I have friends, you know, that were in that are in politics from both sides, but I could never get a Republican on the show. The only one that would come on was Robin Dalton.
Yes. And she's not a Republican.
And she's
anymore.
Not a Republican.
Any longer, right.
I've begged Republican candidates to be on, and you know how my show is. You know, I ask for topics from these candidates on what they want to talk about.
Yeah.
I never want to put them in a corner. I mean, this is a community show. I never want to put them in a corner or take them by surprise. I always want to talk about what they have in mind and what they plan to do. I could not get a Republican on. I mean, we've been doing this for 12 years.
Well, that might change this year. I think Heidi West, you know, is sort of a woman around town.
Yeah.
She's owns a lot of businesses on Broadway. And
I hope so. I mean, I'll tell you, the person that came on the most, and he had some tough subjects to talk about, and he was never afraid to answer them, was Chris Mathiesen. Mm. Now, Chris had some topics that were a little bit conflicting with people. I mean, you know,
the Daryl Mountain case.
Daryl Mountain and downtown. But he would always talk about the problems. He never shied away from anything. He always maybe stated his opinion. But I got to give him credit. He wanted to be on the show to talk about what was going on in his department.
Yeah, that's good.
I always thought it was because he was open about it. He never tried to. He may not have liked what he said, but he would always talk about it.
Well, I find it interesting. Meg Kelly was down at the Times Union Center at a talk once, and Rex Smith asked her, what scares you the most about your job? And she says, what the public has to say.
Oh, geez.
So she was, you know, and she said it jokingly, but it's very reflective of who she is. She doesn't want to hear from you.
No. She doesn't want to hear from you, and she doesn't want
you to ask her questions, right, or me to ask her questions.
And she doesn't want conflict,
right,
which I think a lot of them don't want is conflict.
But as a politician, that's...
Well, yeah, but
you've got to expect it.
But when you don't have the right answers, or
that's
you don't want to make enemies, and that's not really a politician, then you've got to have a stance and debate it with people, talk about it.
Right.
See, I find out myself, you know, I haven't been the past couple of years, but I used to be hard-headed, and I used to really get, I mean, like when we were talking about John, when we went through charter change, when I was on Valerie Keene's commission, we used to argue, and I would yell and argue with him, and he'd argue with me, and on the weekend we'd have coffee. But I wouldn't do that anymore. I don't argue. But in a debate, when you debate people sanely, mm-hmm, you can learn things.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, and it's amazing what you can learn.
Yes.
And sometimes it can change your view.
Yes.
Because you're talking about it rationally.
Right.
Instead of just blowing up.
Right.
And, you know, so probably the last 4 or 5 years when I talk to people, even if I don't agree with them, there are things that you can learn from somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wish that people, especially in politics, could understand that, you know, all over the place. Not just local, but
right.
Unfortunately, we're humans, and
yeah,
we're always right, or so we think.
Well, yes, and a lot of politicians are self-centered.
Yeah, but I learned a lot from you, and we don't agree on everything.
That's true.
But you know what? It doesn't affect our friendship at all.
Right, right.
And I, you know, hey, that's how it is. And I'm right on this, too.
Okay.
And I'm not going to say that. I'm not.
All right.
All right. Well, listen, we've come to the end of the show.
Well, it was great to be here again after COVID.
I know. And it's great to see you again. I, you know, like I say, we've missed out so much in a year and a half.
Yes.
But now we're back into a routine. And I hope to have you back on maybe after the track season.
Yes. Once the fall, the big political season starts heating up.
We'll do that. And it'll be interesting.
Yes. And I can remember the names of all the candidates because right now I can't.
I know I can't either. But I mean, Pat Kane,
yeah,
my partner here, had sent them all to me. Mm-hmm. And I forgot the paper they were on.
Oh, okay.
So I don't just forget the names. I forgot the paper.
Yeah,
so.
Okay.
Wendy, you take it easy, okay?
All right. Thank you, Rick.
Always great seeing you and talking to you. And that's it for this Saturday. We'll be with you soon. So everybody have a great 4th of July, and stay safe and be happy.